And as we look into the Word of God, the book of John, chapter 4, and I want us to think tonight about, along that topic, give. Before I heard the song, I was thinking on just calling it the message tonight, open up. Open up your ears to hear. Open up your eyes to see. Open your heart to others. Open your hands to serve. Open your mouth to speak. John chapter 4. And tonight I just want to share with you some of what the Lord has been teaching me in the few days that I've been here in Wisconsin. Just some practical things. I hope it'll be a help and encouragement, a blessing in your life. I want to say also, as I talk about Standing Rock, I talked with the preacher that was preaching there today, Pastor Jerry Begay, a Navajo man, was there, talked with him. He said they had a great service today, good altar call, and everything is intact real good, but he was very encouraged by the service there at Standing Rock today, and so that's just a fresh update from today. John chapter 4, starting at verse number 4, down to verse number 10, and let's just stand together with respect to the Word of God, and I'll read, starting at verse number 4 of John 4. And it says, talking about Jesus, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Let's pray. Father, pray that you would touch our time together here. Lord, just give me words to speak. Holy Spirit, I so need you to direct me in proclaiming your word, but then each one of us, we need the Spirit of God to just move through this setting tonight. Oh, Lord, may we sense your presence and individually challenge us in this last Sunday night service of the year 2013. Oh, God, we each need you. Oh, Lord, I pray that your word will be alive and real. Guide me. Use this time tonight. Draw us close to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I think through the last couple of days, thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said here, he must needs go through Samaria. Sometimes in my service for the Lord, I say, here, Lord, I'm available here, and I go to people. I say, people, I'm available here. You can come to me and just I'll help you if you'll come to me. And this week I was challenged a little deeper on that. Jesus could have said, people, came from heaven. I'm down here on this earth. You can come to me. You have a need? Come on over to me. But here Jesus Christ himself demonstrated for us a submitting ear that the Holy Spirit of God was directing, and over there in Samaria where there are people that typically they would be rejecting the Jewish people, and there's that conflict that already is there, and Jesus knew that he needed to go to their place. I was talking with my brother-in-law just a few days ago, and he said one of the things that, and we were in some conversation, and I'll talk just a little bit more about my niece and in the hospital there, but the father of my niece Randy. I was talking with him, and he was saying in the community, he heard some of the neighbors say before he came into that house where he lived, he said that people never opened their shades or their blinds in their house. They just were always closed in there. And he said, I got to thinking, that presents a message. And I stopped to consider a little bit, and I thought, am I somewhat that way? Do I make myself available on my schedule? I have my schedule, and I'll say, okay, I'm available now, and I'll go and do this. And if somebody has a need, in fact, I was guilty of that myself. I told my sister and I told my brother-in-law, hey, I'm here. I know you've had, your schedule has been so altered by what has transpired over these last 5 weeks. Is there anything I could help you with? Oh, of course, what did they say? Well, no, we've got it all under control. And I said, Lord, give me some eyes to see. Jesus said there is a need down in Samaria. And for that need to be met, it's not just getting on the telephone and saying, a lady, you got some struggles in your life there. I'm over here. Come and see me. He said, I'm going to go. There's a place there in Samaria. It's a place where she's going to be coming to because there's going to be a point during the day she's going to need some water. And I'll be there. I'm going to meet with her. So as my brother-in-law was talking about, just that something simple like the shades and the blinds on the windows, I wonder how many times do we draw the shades and we close our doors and we're taking care of our little family and our little situation and our little troubles and we go in and out that door. But what does when the door is open or the blinds are open, the shades are drawn or the curtains are pulled aside? One thing it does, I was at my mom's house yesterday. I thought, well, I just tried this. I opened up that curtain there, and the window was on the south side. And I thought, wow, this feels warm. The sun was coming in. Of course, yesterday was shining a little better than it was today. But, I mean, those rays just came in there, and God brought some light into that house. But it gives a message to people around. When we open up and we say, people, you can look into this house. It's all right. I'm not perfect. I have my problems. I have my struggles. But hey, I'm open. I'm open here, and you can go by and you can turn your head. You can look into my living room. You can look and see what's going on in my house. And while I'm not perfect, I want to be a servant. And if I can just offer to you that I am available for you, I will be willing for you to look in, and you can look in. And you can look in, and one day you may have a way that because you've looked into my house and you've seen something of my life, that I'll be able to minister to you. And I thought, well, that's something just simple, but it's practical. How many times do we think we can just handle life and we can handle its situations, or we've got something we just kind of want to close off and we don't think of it as being a bad thing. You just kind of just live in our own little privacy. But we need to be very public and let all things be without reproach before God and before man. Let them see and let them help us to be molded and shaped to be the servant and the one used of God that God would have to be used in our community. I think in praying for our neighbors, it's good to be visible. This morning I just went, and I was surprised. I went out in the neighborhood there where my mom is at, and I just walked down the street, and it was probably 5:45 or so this morning. But several lights were on already. I saw, I think, two vehicles pulling out of the yard. But just being available, being out there where people can see. Now, that might be something. It could be a practical suggestion. If you're living in a neighborhood, you're living where there are people around you, that just open up so that people get a chance to see you, to see your life, to see what is taking place there in the life around you. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. It tells us in Psalm 119, 133. We live in a world that is very visible and yet at the same time invisible. While we're taking steps, we're taking steps in an invisible spiritual journey, but also we're taking steps in a visible world with visible people around us. Here, Jesus Christ said he must needs go through Samaria. Well, he gets there to Samaria. You go down there to verse number 9. And this woman, she says, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? There was already a tension built in. As I think of the Navajo people look at white people and they say, white people, they have made treaties with us. They've made treaties with our Native American tribes that are across this country. And they've broken them. And boy, do they remember that. Now, we haven't broken all of them. I don't know what we've all broken and what we haven't broken, but I know you don't have to talk to them very long, and they say, well, you broke this and you broke that. And we have white people, and I talked about the traders earlier, and the Navajo people, they're very skilled at making arts and crafts, and they would make these kind of things, and then the white people would take them, and then they would jack the price up and make money off of them. The people feel like they're exploited, and they don't know how to make that kind of money on their things that they have made. And now the New Agers have come in, and the New Agers, they're just accepting of everything. Mine, they got the powwow. And the New Agers are coming along and say, wow, that's great. Man, they need to keep their culture. I'm saying you need to get rid of your culture. And they say, oh, you need to keep your culture. And then they talk about the medicine. Oh, it's so great they got medicine men. And they've got all of their old traditions, their ancient traditions, and they've got their gods, and they've got their eagle feathers, and they've got their fetishes, and they've got these things. Oh, that's so wonderful. How can we get alongside of them and meet them where they are? People all around us, we need to meet them where we are. We need to be saying, oh God, here are my hands. Oh God, give me eyes to see. Oh God, give me ears to hear. What is your voice saying? Where would you have me to go? Where would you direct me? So many times we say, I've got to go to the store. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. And it's so much about our schedule. When it needs to be, Lord, I'm available to you. Where is a needy, hurting soul around that I can be used to get alongside of some hurt that they have? I was talking with my sister and the family, Kim, my niece, coming up on 6 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday, that she was in that horrific car accident some of you have been praying for that, and I thank you for that. And she continues to be there in the hospital in Madison. Jaw is still wired shut, and she has a tube coming out of her throat there. Bones are healing. We're thankful for that. The Lord's doing a special work in that. So I was talking with my brother-in-law. He said, there's such a drain that comes. I didn't know what it would be like to be at the hospital day after day after day and to see my daughter, then the medications that get put into my daughter's body, and then they make her do crazy things. They make her say things like she never said before. And, oh, it's just heart-wrenching, and the emotional ups and downs. And you see some days where it seems like there's some progress being made, and they go back another day, and then it seems like, is anything happening? Is she backing up again? And he said, I had a family came to us, and they said, this night, no Claytons are allowed at the hospital. We're going to sit in the hospital. I thought, have I ever done that? Have I ever sensed the heavy burden on the heart of another human that I would say, I know you have love there. I know that you're dealing with this, but you need a break. You need a mesh. You need to be able to go home and get some sleep and just say, it's all right. We're here. We're going to be beside this loved one. We're going to be beside this one to help talk with them. And if there's any need in the night, we'll be here to care for them. So the Lord prompted me, thought, I wonder, what does their, could their house maybe, could their house use a little bit of freshening up? And we were able to find a key, or my mom had a key, and opened the door and went in. And, you know, it was just a blessing to my heart. They didn't say, well, you know, we could use our house cleaned, could use a few things straightened up. Just went in and did it. And my heart was blessed. And my sister came over. They were gone all day yesterday. They were at the hospital. And my sister came home, and I wasn't there, but she right away called my mom and said, who was in the house? Who cleaned the house? But just, you know, that doesn't come by, I'm here, I'm available, anytime you need some help, here I am. You know, if I would have waited for that, I would have missed an opportunity. If I would have said, you speak with your physical voice, and when you have something that I can help with, here are my hands, I can help out, I'll be there, I'll do whatever I can. If I'd have waited for that, I'd have missed that opportunity. I wonder, will the Lord put perhaps somebody like that, maybe another brother in Christ, another part of the church family here, a neighbor. May it be that God will put somebody into your life. You'll say, initially you might say, I'm available for you. But then as you contemplate, as you pray, as you get alongside of the point where it hurts, and as I went to the hospital and oh, I saw the anguish and had to be careful not to add to all the emotional stress by breaking down and just crying there with them. And I realized, oh God, would you speak to me and show me how can I go to that family and be a help to them? There's Christians that need some encouragement. There's Christians that are hurting, as well as the unsaved. We need to be sensitive to that spirit that calls out and can direct us just as surely as Jesus Christ himself was directed in this earthly life. I must needs go through Samaria. There was a hurting woman there. There was a woman with deep needs. And you don't understand that, and you don't come into involvement with God's plan unless there is a sensitivity upon the heart to the Spirit of God that says, lead me. Let me mention something else that just came, just a blessing that came through this. I realized we moved my mom. Thank you for praying for my mom, and we moved her safely down there to live next to my sister there in Waterloo. And Lord, it did so many wonderful things in allowing that to take place. But then it was after that, after my mom was moved, then this tragedy came to my sister. And one of the things that was said is that I think we're going to need to have a snowblower in order to keep up with the snow, because we're going to have 2 yards now that we're going to have to take care of to keep cleared out. And my sister does have a son that's a teenager, and so he's capable of doing that. We're going to need a snowblower. So I thought, well, I'll just look in the paper there in New Mexico, and I just kind of scanned down through there, and wouldn't you know, snowblowers listed in the ads in the newspaper in New Mexico. So I called the fellow up. And the fellow, when I called up, he didn't answer. The answering service said, I'd be glad to call. Sorry, missed your call. And just leave your number and a brief message, and we'll get back with you. God bless you. Well, I left the message, and I put on the end there, well, God bless you. And lo and behold, he called, and we got to talking a little bit, and said, got this snowblower, and I had, because of a difficulty that came with my daughter, my daughter's got cancer, and so we moved from Colorado down to New Mexico, and we're taking care of her, and so we've got this snowblower in New Mexico and really don't need it here. I said, well, I live in New Mexico and I really don't particularly need that. It's not one of the highest priorities that I need right now, a snowblower in New Mexico, but I'm going to Wisconsin. And I told a little bit about my mom and got to talking, and he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I was able to share, yes, I got saved back in January of 1969 up here in Wisconsin, and told a little bit about that. So we talked back and forth a little bit, and the next day he wanted to talk to me again. And he just said, my wife and I discussed that, and if that snowblower will be any benefit to you at all, we're just going to cut the price in half, and you can take that on up there. And so it was a really smoking deal. And that's probably not a good thing to say, is it? It was a good deal. It was a deal from heaven. Forgive me for everything else. Forget the rest. Work that off of the tape there. It was a deal from heaven. But it gave me peace. Wow. Lord is in this thing. And then as I talked to him some more, I found out he's near Santa Fe. He's about, it'd take probably 4 hours for him to get where the snowblower is and to bring it back to Santa Fe. I was thinking, well, I'll come through Santa Fe and I'll come up to Wisconsin that way. And he said, man, I just had eye surgery. This was a week and a half ago. He had eye surgery, and I said, boy, I don't see how it's going to work out. I don't think I can get there. And I said, okay, well, maybe the Lord's not in that. I said, if the Lord's in it, we won't have to force anything. But the Lord arranged some other circumstances, and it really worked out for me better to go actually through Farmington and then through southern Colorado and come on up. And I called him back, and I said, well, this is the way it's working out now. I'll be taking that route, and I'll be going through that city where it's at, Bayfield, Colorado. And the snow had been there the day before, but the weather cleared up, and there is Wolf Creek Pass, and there are some of those mountain passes which aren't real good to drive in the middle of the night in the middle of the winter. But at that particular time, the snowstorms had passed, and it was good to go. And so I said, I'm going through there. Is there anybody that maybe we could arrange with? He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send an email of where my house is. When you get to my house, you get on your cell phone, and I'll tell you where the key is, and you can take that key, you can go through that door, and then you go through, once you get through that door, you go through there, there'll be a bathroom, turn the light on in the bathroom, you go through another door, and then you look in that door across the room, and there's a key sticking in that doorknob, you get that key, and you go back through the house, you go out to the shed in the back, and in the shed there's a double doors, there's a key, a lock on there, unlock that, and there, open those doors up, and there it will be. You can take it and send the check whenever you get a chance. And I thought, boy, that's, boy, are you sure? Does your wife feel comfortable about this type of thing? Well, he said, if I can't trust you, I can't trust anybody. He said, well, all right. Midnight, a week ago, I stopped there and picked up a snowblower, brought it up here, and I got it up here on a Christmas day. It turned out to actually be a blessing to take it there at my mom's house, and there was my sister's son was there, came over, and showed him how to run that, and he was so grateful for that. But just, Lord, give me ears to hear out of the invisible realm. God, give me ears that can hear the Spirit of God speaking. It doesn't come through the physical ears. Rather, it comes through the ears of the heart. Spirit of God, lead me, guide me. I'll help you in this year ahead. Maybe there's something of a fresh connect to that very precious Spirit of God that by a choice of decision, by a choice of surrender, by a choice that says, Lord, here am I. Send me out. This next year could be even greater than the year past. It's been exciting to hear the testimonies. Been exciting to hear what God has done in this year. Do you know 2014 could be a greater year? The world around is kind of looking and they're questioning and they're worrying. I wonder, where is it going to go? What is going to happen with the world around us? What's going to happen with all the changes that are taking place? And we as Christians can be so excited and thrilled. I can go forth and I can understand how to take a more detailed walk and keep my steps more accurately in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can have a more prosperous year. No matter what the problems that come upon me, no matter what the health issues that will come, no matter what the aches and pains on the physical body, I can have a more successful year in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to God who is mindful, God who cares, God who will enable you have a great year ahead. This story here in John chapter 4 ends up, it's so sweet and wonderful. It's just exciting. This would be a testimony to keep you hopping and excited for a long time there. But look there at 28 to 30 where you kind of have a little summary where it went to. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. And she went back. She was excited. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. Just Jesus, and his disciples were with him, but they were kind of involved with other stuff. But Jesus, one individual, like I'm one individual with the presence of the Lord, I'm just as I can do just what Jesus did. And go out of the way. Lord, where do you have for me to go? I'll go. I'll go to that Samaria. I'll go to that place where those people, I don't expect they're going to be able to reward me. I don't expect they're going to be able to repay me. But Lord, you know they have a need in their heart. And there's some way I can get alongside, even with the snow shoveling and so forth that comes. So sometimes that can just be an opportunity. Snow comes down and it gets piles up a little bit and see your neighbors, see the people around you. You know, you could just get alongside of them with a shovel and say, hey, I just want to help you. This is something that, you know, it's kind of wasn't scheduled in the beginning of your year that you needed to take these hours and shovel snow here. I'll get alongside of you and help you. Watch for the needs. So often, I think if we're just waiting for somebody to come to us, we may miss some great and precious opportunities. Lord, here I am. Take me. Jesus took a journey to the cross. Jesus, there at that cross, hung alone in front of many people that were rejecting him while he took that journey. But oh, Acts chapter 2 comes alive with great victory. Lord, tonight, give us ears that are open to you. Hearts that are open Lord, yes. It's not all about me. It's about you. It's about your work. Here I am. You may have me. Lord, these hands, I now open them up to give rather than hold them shut to keep a hold of things. What I am and what I have, it's yours, Lord. And Lord, I surrender afresh that you would speak to my heart. Use me to be that effective servant for you. And in the process, I'll be blessed beyond measure. But Lord, first of all, use me because of the immense needs of somebody that I'm going to touch, somebody that I could step out of the way and be make an eternal difference in their lives. God, help us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Pastor.